I like what Peter writes in his first epistle. He said, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Amen. He said, if you've experienced it for yourself, I can say I found him to be precious, I found him to be gracious, I found him to be kind, I found him to be merciful, I found him to be loving, I found him. Do I need to go on? I found him to be just what I need, when I need it, every time. And not just enough, not just barely enough, but always more than enough. Thank God tonight. Oh, I love Jesus tonight. How about you? I love him. I love him tonight. I thank him for his grace and his mercy, because he's been mighty good to me tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you got your Bibles tonight, we're going to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 40. Last Sunday night, I started preaching about the life of Elisha, and I intend on going back to that with the Lord's help, but I don't know. I just, through the course of this week, with all that's been going on, I felt the Lord drawing my heart in a little different direction. And I want to speak to us about a theme tonight that touches all of us at some point in our lives, and I believe it's something that is Abundant Life Tabernacle we need to hear. I want to speak about comfort tonight with the Lord's help. Comfort. You know, we hear the word comfort today, and many people often say that word. You know, they talk about their comfort in life, and many times people think of something soft, easy, or enjoyable. Maybe like a cozy chair, a warm meal, or just a pleasant feeling. And this word has become almost synonymous with luxury or convenience. But in the scripture, comfort means more than something that makes life easier. But it is a word that speaks directly to the soul. It reaches into our pain, and it has a way of restoring our hope, because the comfort that the scriptures speak of is not a natural comfort, but it is a supernatural comfort. I find that in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word often translated as comfort is the word nacham. It carries a deep well of meaning. It means to console, to express compassion, or to show mercy upon one. It implies being moved emotionally, even with grief or sorrow at times. And throughout the pages of the Old Testament, it is often used of God himself as he is willing to comfort his own people. And you know, I find it especially tied to the presence of the Lord. In fact, in Psalm 23, in verse number 4, the Bible, David doesn't say that he's comforted because his enemies are gone or because his valleys are removed, but he said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Why do they comfort me? Because he's under the care of the shepherd. And he can say, I'm comforted even in the valley. I'm comforted even in the presence of mine enemies, because the Lord is with me. Here in Isaiah, Isaiah the prophet is going to say something rather profound. In fact, one of the last times I had a good conversation with Pastor Glenn, he quoted part of these verses. Isaiah 43 and 2, the scripture declares, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, is what he says in verse 3. But he said, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Why? Because the Lord is with you. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a theme. This theme of comfort is one that carries on into the New Testament. I was recently reading through the Gospel of John, and as Jesus is getting ready to leave, his disciples, he's getting ready to be crucified, He looks at them and he said, I will not leave you comfortless. Quite literally, that picture of comfortless there is one, a child having no parents or an orphan. He said, I'm not going to leave you that way, but I shall send another comforter. And he shall be with you and he shall be in you. The Apostle Paul's going to take pen in hand in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And he's going to say that he is the Father of mercies and the God of all comforting. Man, I'm going to talk about this idea of comfort tonight. That's what makes Isaiah 40 so powerful. This is not just poetic language. It is the truth of God for the weary. It is hope for those who feel alone. It is assurance for the brokenhearted. And I want to explore for just a little while tonight how God comforts his people, not with just words of sentiment, but with his presence, his promises, and his power. Let's read tonight Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Let's begin reading Isaiah 40 and 1. Scriptures declare, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. Because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up unto the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up and be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arms shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him, and he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms, and shall carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. We'll stop right there this evening. I just simply want to preach on the comfort only God can give. The comfort only God can give. Let's pray tonight. Father,
thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the truth of Scripture. Lord, I pray that you reach down and you would take these words that are your words and you bring them to life in our hearts. Lord, I don't have very much to say in regards to my own personal thoughts tonight, but Lord, I do believe your word speaks for itself. And Lord, I pray that you would come by the power of your Spirit and through your grace tonight and give us that comfort that only you can give, Lord. I believe we need it tonight, Lord. I believe we need your touch and the strength that only comes from your hand. And what a picture we have painted for us in these Old Testament scriptures, Lord, of a God who is both ruler of the world, but yet the shepherd of the lowly. And I pray that you would help and minister tonight through your word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
I'm going to give you four things tonight out of this passage, and I'm not going to try to belabor it any longer than what it is. I just want to give them to you as I feel to share it tonight. But first of all, I want you to notice in verses 1 through 2 that God's comfort comes from his heart. As we come here to Isaiah chapter 40, this signals a dramatic shift. In fact, if you have your Bibles there, and I'm sure that many of your Bibles, if not all of them, probably have some sort of heading, especially if it is a study Bible, and it would tell you that this is actually the second part of the book of Isaiah. Chapter 40 begins a brand new dramatic shift. After 39 chapters that were filled with warning, with judgment. Oh, the promise that exile would come to the people of Israel. This chapter dawns like the first light after a stormy night. And here we find in verse number 1, it is a message of comfort that God is trying to bring to his people. In fact, it is a message of double comfort. He says, comfort ye, comfort ye. It's not a mere suggestion, but it is a repetition that adds weight and urgency to this message from heaven. This is divine insistence, if you would. The God who had to speak hard truths in the previous chapter now insists on speaking healing ones. If you go back just to the previous few chapters, the king had been sick. He was recovered from his sickness. He invites the Babylonian ambassadors to come in and behold all of the goods of the city. And then after that, Isaiah comes to him and he prophesies to King Hezekiah and he tells him, because of what you have done, because of your foolish error that you have made, oh, your children are going to be led away in captivity into Babylon. So it's been a time of hard truth and a difficult message to the people. But here in Isaiah chapter 40, the Lord has a different purpose in mind. He is wanting to comfort the heart of his people. But why would God want to do this? Because comfort is not merely a secondary thought in God's mind, but it is a primary expression of his very heart. Notice what verse 2, what the Lord proclaims there. He says, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. This idea of speaking comfortably unto Jerusalem literally means to speak to the heart of Jerusalem. It is the language of covenant, and in fact, it is a language used in the courtship of marriage. If you had your Bibles and you'd like to turn over there, you would find in Hosea chapter number 2 and verse number 14. Oh, there, Hosea, as he is trying to win back the affection of his wife after she has gone wayward and she has left him with their children there. Oh, Hosea 2 and 14, he says, therefore, behold, I will allure her, I will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. Or in other words, I'm going to speak to her heart. I am going to try to win back the affections of this woman who has left me high and dry. Do you find it incredible that God, the God of the universe, Isaiah is going to describe him in some very memorable ways. In a little while, he's going to say how he's measured out the sand of the world in his hand. He has weighed all of it in the balances. This is the transcendent God, but yet he desires to speak a word of comfort unto the heart of his people. That is how much God cares about his people. Aren't you glad for the times in our difficulty that God doesn't just proclaim some random message? He doesn't have something just to speak to the masses, but he has a way to speak directly unto our hearts. This was the first thought that came to my mind as these verses were coming to my heart this week. I said, Lord, I believe that you and you alone are able to break through the fog of difficulty, able to break through the circumstances that surround us in this moment, and you have a way of speaking directly unto our heart. I can stand up here tonight, I can preach to you for 45 minutes. I might be able to do it for an hour, but I'm going to tell you, if the God of heaven can come down and speak directly to our hearts the word of comfort that we need to hear, it'll transcend any sermon that I can preach, any performance that I can give, because it is God who has the ability and the desire to speak comfort directly into our hearts. I am so thankful for the times I have experienced this in my own life. When God has come down and he has spoken directly to my heart. I'm not saying he wasn't speaking to other people, because God has a way he can speak to every one of us individually at the same time. How many know that? He can take one sermon or one lesson and he can bring out one particular point for every single person, and it might be a different point across the board. 45 minutes of a message, and one line might be the one that sticks into your heart, and you know that that is God speaking to your heart. Oh, thank God tonight. He has the ability to do that, and I believe he has the desire to do it as well. Oh, his compassion and his love never fails, and he knows how to speak into the situation and say, I know exactly where you are. I know what's going on around you. I know the difficulty that lies ahead, but listen to what I have to say. I am concerned about the comfort of your heart. Of all the things Jesus could have been concerned with before he left his disciples behind, and what was he worried about? He was worried about providing peace and comfort to his disciples. He could have been preaching a sermon about betraying him. He could have been preaching a message about denying him to Peter. Oh, he could have talked about 100 other things. He could have talked about end time events or the coming of his kingdom. But he was concerned with the peace and the comfort of his disciples. And there in John chapter 14 and verse number 1, he said, "Ye believe in God, believe also in me." In other words, have faith in me that I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm leading you, and I have a purpose in the midst of all that is going to happen. Oh, God's words of comfort come directly from his heart. This isn't God broadcasting comfort from afar. It's personal. It's intimate. It's near. He's not yelling corrections. He's whispering his kindness. I'll tell you, I've mentioned it before, but back in 2020, I was sitting outside of a OBGYN clinic. My wife was inside miscarrying our first baby, and they would not let me in the door because of COVID-19. And I sat out in that car, and I wept like a baby. And I remember feeling so helpless, and I still to this day, I remember it so vividly, thinking to myself, I feel all alone, and I know my wife feels the same way. And I'll never forget, as the Lord began to just deal with my heart, he didn't yell across the distance. He came and spoke directly to me, and he gave me comfort from his word there in 1 Peter chapter number 1, when he said, I have begotten you again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I can't even begin to explain to you all that that verse meant in that moment, but I was reminded, in spite of the death that I now face that's taking place in my wife's womb, I know that I have a living Savior, and God is speaking directly unto me in the midst of the difficulty. I can hear his voice, and I know what he's saying. The shepherd has a good intention even in the trouble. Oh, why was this comfort coming? He said, comfort ye my people, saith your God, speak comfortably unto Jerusalem. This is the twofold message of comfort that he begins with. I want you to pay attention to it. He said, for her warfare is accomplished, first of all. In other words, he said, I want you to tell them that the battle's been fought and the battle's already won. Hallelujah. What a message of comfort. You're getting ready to go into exile one day, but I want you to know that I have already won the battle. The second part of that message is, her iniquity is pardoned. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that the same message that God reminds us of over and over again? It's the very foundation of our comfort in God. Number one, he's fought every battle and already won it by the victory of the cross. We can stand in what God has provided us. And second of all, we can say our iniquity is pardoned. Our sin has been cast into the sea of forgetfulness. That is the basis of our pardon. The battle's won and the sins are forgiven. That is where our hope is founded, in those two truths, that the battle's won and our sins are forgiven. And if those two things are not true, in our lives, then we cannot know the personal comfort of God. But when those two things are true in our lives, we can expect God to speak into our hearts. We can hear His voice and we can trust His will. God's comfort does not merely soothe the emotions, it secures the relationship. This is not about making us feel better temporarily. It's about bringing us into communion with Him. His goal is not just emotional relief, but relational restoration. He does not comfort reluctantly. His mercy is not mechanical. It is personal. It is passionate. And God has promised it unto us. His comfort is not merely a reaction to our pain, but it is an overflow of God's eternal plan for our lives. He already knows every time in our lives when we are going to need His comfort. And He has prepared and made a way for His heart to speak to our heart. God's comfort comes directly from His heart. Second of all, God's comfort prepares the way for His presence. Let's read some familiar verses here, but let's read them again. Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5. The voice of Him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. You know, we talk about these verses often. They're quoted by John the Baptist, or about the ministry of John the Baptist in the New Testament. But consider the image here. Isaiah paints the image of a royal highway being constructed, not for a human king, but for the Lord Himself. We understand, we probably heard it before. I know I've preached it here before, but in ancient times, roads were often leveled and cleared before a monarch arrived to ensure that nothing hindered the glory of the entrance of the monarch. In the same way, Isaiah pronounces a divine procession. God is on His way and His path is being made straight. But where is the path being prepared for the entrance of the king? He said, in the wilderness, God is preparing a way. The wilderness is where God builds the road for His presence. It is a symbol of desolation, of vulnerability, of dependence. But also in Scripture, it is a place of divine encounter and transformation. Think about Moses and the burning bush. Where does God enter in His presence? There in the wilderness. What about Israel on Mount Sinai? Where does God reveal His law? In the wilderness. Oh, what about Elijah as he is running from Jezebel and he's fearing for his life? Where does the angel of the Lord appear to him? In the wilderness. Time and time again in the Scriptures, we read about this desolate wilderness where God makes His appearance and His presence shines through even in the dry places. Over and over, God meets His people in the wilderness, not to punish, but to prepare the way so that His glory may be seen by His people. We understand these verses have a near fulfillment for the people of Israel. Oh, God is going to lead the people into the wilderness of exile into Babylon. And this wilderness of exile, eventually God will prepare a way and bring the people back to Himself. That's a near fulfillment. There's a further out fulfillment of John the Baptist, who would literally prepare the way for Jesus Christ, the incarnate glory of God, there according to Matthew 3 and 3. But beyond prophecy and fulfillment lies a living principle. God's comfort always leads to deeper communion with Him. His nearness is not the end, but His presence is. God draws nigh. The wilderness is not where God abandons His people. It is where He begins to move in their direction. It is where the old pride is humbled, the brokenness is lifted, and the hard places are softened so that nothing stands in the way of His glory being revealed in you and through you. Listen to what Isaiah says happens here in the wilderness. He says, in the wilderness, valleys are lifted up to prepare the way for the glory of God. God meets the lowly, giving dignity to the downcast. He said mountains are brought low. In other words, God opposes pride and anything that is exalted against His glory. He said the rough places are made smooth. In other words, God in the wilderness works out the knots of resistance and clears the debris of past failures and fears. Anything that would stop His glory from being revealed, He said God is trying to prepare the way so He can come and not only speak comfort, but bring comfort unto the heart of His people. Can I tell you tonight, God isn't simply interested in shouting about His comfort from afar. He wants to come near and make it real in our hearts. All this preparation serves one purpose, that the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all people shall see it together. This is the heart of the gospel. The way is being cleared, not so that we can find God, but so that God can draw near to us. The voice cries out, not for the people to climb to heaven, but to prepare their hearts so that heaven can come down to where they are. I stand before you tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost. I stand before you tonight and tell you, God is not saying, hey, if you can ascend to this place, I will comfort you. But He is saying, hey, if you hear what I'm trying to tell you tonight, I want to come down and I will bring my comfort with me. I will come to where you are. You say, Brother Shane, I feel like I'm in the middle of the wilderness right now. I'm in the wilderness of despair. I'm in the wilderness of disappointment. But I'm here to tell you, God knows how to get to the wilderness of despair and disappointment and get to where we are. He knows our address and He can get to right where we are. And He doesn't just want to shout about His comfort from afar. He wants to come and bring it near as heaven comes to where we are. Oh, your desert is not a dead end. It's divine construction. God is carving a highway through the hard places in your life, not so you can escape, but so that He can show up. How many know God oftentimes orchestrates the situation just right so that when He shows up, we can't give anybody else the glory? I'm so thankful that He shows up in such a way so that nobody else can get that glory. We have to step back and say, nobody but God can do such things as these. When everything else was against me, when there was more against me than for me, God showed up in the middle of it. And there I heard the words of Elisha say, open the eyes of the servant that he may see those that are with us. Oh, I thank God tonight that He makes the way so that His presence can come near. Oh, hallelujah. So I'll tell you, second of all, God's comfort prepares the way for His presence. That's why God wants to comfort us, so that we can know He's drawn near to us. Third thing I want to give you out of these verses, God's comfort is grounded in His unchanging word. God's comfort is grounded in His unchanging word. Read verse number 8 with me quickly. This covers verses 6 through 8. But I just want to read verse number 8 quickly. Oh, He said, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Oh, in the third movement of Isaiah 40, a new voice enters, a messenger from heaven, calling out a reality that we often ignore, that our lives are fleeting. This messenger comes and the Lord speaks to him and says, this is what I want you to say. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. Does it matter? We are all human. We are all frail. And we all pass off the scene. The comparison is painfully accurate. Grass flourishes for a season, but it quickly wilts. Flowers bloom with beauty, then they fall with fragility. Likewise, human beings, our strength, our plans, our influence, it is all temporary. It is fragile, and it is susceptible to fading under the pressure. But Isaiah doesn't leave them in despair. Because how despairing would this message be? It'd sound like something more out of the book of Ecclesiastes than Isaiah. If he just said, you know, all flesh is grass and we all eventually wither like flowers. And he left it right there, I'd think I was reading Ecclesiastes. But the prophet Isaiah goes on to say this. But the word of our God shall stand forever. Man, and man's influence passes away. Even good and bad influence, it passes away. But the word of our God shall stand forever. This Hebrew word for stand, lukrum, it conveys more than just durability. It carries the sense of rising up, standing tall, and remaining unshaken. God's word does not bend with the culture. It does not weaken with time. It doesn't fade with memory. It endures, it outlasts, and it overcomes every time. He said, the memory of man will fade. The influence of man's going to fade. Every single one of us have an expiration date. Because we're human. But he said, not the word of our God. He said, it has been established. And when everything else is wilting, the word of God stands sure. Hallelujah. When everything else is fading and dimming and losing its value, the word of God stands sure. I'm glad tonight that we have the assurance behind the hope that God has offered us that his word will stand forever. The heavens may pass away, the earth may fade into non-existence, but the word of God has been forever settled in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. God's promises are more reliable than any political system. God's promises are more trustworthy than any emotional state. God's promises are bigger than any human achievement. Oh, his word outlives empires. It outlasts our suffering. And with everything around us shifting, his word stays firm. This is not about the preservation of Scripture alone. It is the revelation of the unchanging character of the God who is speaking here in Isaiah 40. His word is faithful because he is faithful. His word is true because he is truth. His word is enduring because he is eternal. I am so glad tonight that we can trust this comfort because it is rooted in the word of God. We live in a culture of change, of fast news, of fleeting trends, temporary highs, and yet we're always trying to find something solid to stand on. But Isaiah presses us to ask, what exactly is it that you're trusting in? I'm glad to say I'm trusting in the word of God that endures forever. Oh, hallelujah. Consider the false comforts that we have. Some people that are comforted by nice feelings. How many know emotions can change daily? They can change by the minute. I've known some people, 1 minute they're high, and the next 5 minutes later they're down in the dump. It's just the way it is. Emotions change. Some people put their comfort in friendships. But how many know that even the most loyal people can move, fail, or fade? Some people put their comfort in their finances. But we know wealth is uncertain. Markets shift from day to day. Some people like fame. the approval of man, but that is fickle. Just ask anyone who's been celebrated one day and canceled the next. That is the fact of life. But Isaiah says that if you're planting your hope in these fields, you're planting flowers in a drought. If our hopes are founded in anything less than God's word, we're planting flowers in a drought, and it'll be here today and it'll be gone tomorrow. They won't last. But how many know when you build your hope on God's word, you're standing on a foundation that has never failed. You're trusting in promises that have no expiration date. And you are anchoring your soul in one thing that will outlive every storm. Thank God tonight His word endures forever. Oh, hallelujah. This is how God comforts us. Not with wishful thinking, but with the eternal truth of His word. God's comfort is rooted in His word. The fourth and final thing I want to give you. God's comfort comes with both power and gentleness. God's comfort comes with both power and gentleness. Isaiah 40. Verse number 10 and 11. Let me get this picture, this contrast here, if you would. The Bible says in Isaiah 40 and verse number 10, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. What a picture of God here. Strong, mighty, ruling over all, having power and authority that man cannot withstand. I mean, it's comforting to know that God has all power in heaven and in earth. But aren't you glad our comfort is found in more and more than just the power of God? Because He goes on there in verse number 11 to say this, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm, and He shall carry them in His bosom, and He shall gently lead them that are with young. These verses form a majestic crescendo in Isaiah 40, a dual portrait of God's awesome strength, but also His astonishing tenderness. We are summoned to behold the Lord, not as we imagine Him, but as He truly is. He says, behold, the Lord God comes with might, and His arm rules for Him. This is the imagery of a conquering king, a sovereign whose arrival is powerful and decisive. He talks about His arm, which is a symbol, a biblical symbol of divine strength that reveals that God is not coming passively, but He's coming actively into the situation. He said, when He comes, He will rule. He brings both reward and recompense with Him when He comes. This is not some soft, sentimental comfort. It is comfort rooted in the reality that God is in charge. So I want to remind you tonight, as we're thinking about God's comfort, that when God shows up, He shows up and He's in charge. He has all authority in heaven and in earth. He is in control. But how many know strength or power that is not checked with tenderness can destroy? It can be destructive for somebody to have unlimited power, but not be checked with compassion. So He says, not only is He a king that's coming to rule over all, but He said He's also a shepherd. And He knows how to deal with each member of the flock just as they need to be dealt with. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, He will tend His flock like a shepherd, Isaiah says. We see the same king robed as a shepherd, not cold or distant, but intimate and present. He doesn't simply declare truth. He draws near to carry us through it. He talks about some of the different members of the flock. He said he will gather the lambs in his arm. These lambs are the little ones, the weakest under his care. He said he knows how, this strong and mighty king, to pick up the weak and to carry them in his arms. He goes on to say he will carry them in his bosom. This is language of deep affection. He goes on to say there, he will gently lead those who are with young. Brother Austin Sinkowitz, I've never had sheep, but Brother Austin Sinkowitz, when he was in Ohio, he had the opportunity to help a man who had a very small sheep herding outfit, I guess you'd call it, just a handful of sheep. And I remember him telling me the story about this one particular sheep that was carrying a ewe lamb. He said, we had to be particularly careful with that one, because if you begin to drive sheep rather than lead them, they'll miscarry the lambs. You have to have special care and attention to those pregnant sheep, or you'll lose those baby lambs before they're ever born. Isaiah says God knows exactly even those who have special circumstances. He knows not to drive them, but to lead them. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does David say he does? He leads me beside the still waters. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. God understands us. I would go so far as to say the good shepherd understands us. And he knows there's times we need a little prodding. We need a little pushing. But there's other times he doesn't push any prod. But he knows exactly how to lead us. And he leads us into the green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. I say praise God for the good shepherd who knows how to deal with his sheep. Let's stand all over the building this evening. Oh, there's times when what your soul needs most is God's might. You need his strength. You need him to fight battles that you can't fight. Anybody ever been there? Oh, you need him to pull down strongholds you can't defeat. You need him to protect you from enemies that you can't even see. Thank God he is strong enough to do that. He come and he'll rule. But there are also times when what your soul needs most is not his might, but his gentleness. To be held up when you're too weak to stand. To be carried when you've run out of strength, and to be led slowly and softly when you felt wounded. Can I say tonight, the good shepherd knows if you need him to fight your battles, he'll stand and he'll fight for you. Let me believe that. If God be for us, who can be against us? But tonight, if you need him to carry you, he's tender enough to reach down and throw you on his shoulders and say, when you're too weak to stand, I'll carry you the rest of the way. This is the comfort of God, the comfort that only God can give. Only God can do what your soul truly needs. Only he can do it. There's no substitute and there is no equal. Everything else is temporary. But the comfort of God lasts because it flows from his eternal love and his unchanging word. I want to read two more verses of scripture to you from the New Testament. And I'm going to ask us to find a place to pray, because I really believe the Lord wants to comfort our hearts tonight and shepherd us as the good shepherd. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse number 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work and word. You know what? That is my prayer as this pastor tonight. That God would comfort, establish, and strengthen you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, we thank you that your comfort is not just surface level relief. But Lord, it is the tenderness of your heart speaking to our heart. And as Paul writes here, it is an everlasting consolation. Because it is good hope that comes through grace. This is the kind of comfort that doesn't just make us feel better. It makes us stand stronger to live more faithfully and to serve more joyfully. So as some may be weak, hurting, or maybe feeling somewhat hopeless, I pray that they would run to you, the God of all comfort, because you don't shame the struggling. You don't ignore the broken, but you comfort, you carry, and most importantly, you come near. I believe you want to come near our hearts tonight, Lord, and I pray that you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, let it be done for your glory. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Find a place to pray tonight. I know we don't have any music tonight, but I just want us to pray. And I want the comfort of God to be real in this place. He's not here just to make you feel better. He's here to make you better. He's not here to drive you out of the wilderness. He's here to carry you if you need it. He's here to come close. He wants to remove all the obstacles so that the glory of the Lord can be seen. And that you can know that He has the power to fight for you if that's what you need. But He also is gentle enough to carry you if you need His strength in that way. Thank you, Lord. You are the God of all comfort, as Paul would write. You are the God of all comfort. I pray that you would do it for Abundant Life Tabernacle tonight.